you know, the Holy Father does. And then he would greet each person. Each person then would genuflect, kiss his papal ring, and get the Holy Father's blessing. Well, the poor fellow, he was blind. So, you remember? I tell you this? Remember? So, he was groping. And he said, Holy Father, he couldn't find the Pope's hand. I am blind. Then Pope Pius XI said, my friend, we are all blind. Sisters, believe that. You're all blind to our real selves. What a dream world. What an idol we can make of ourselves. And of course, we turn away. We don't want to look. You mean, that's me? I'm sure you've all heard about Cardinal Newman, haven't you? Cardinal Newman, the British convert, wrote many books. He is now a venerable. Hopefully he will be beatified by the present Holy Father. Well, Cardinal Newman wrote many books. And I quoted this many times. He said, the hardest thing in writing books, especially for publication, the hardest thing is pride. Because when you write, and then other people read what you've written, you say to yourself, oh no, how could anybody stand, how could anybody want to read what this fool who happens to have my name writes? That is why my average, the time that I finish a manuscript, the time that I publish, I reread the manuscript 7 times. I have not published one book yet in which there were not at least some mistakes. Sisters, we are afraid. That's why I tell people who do not write, for example, Jesuits. I've told so many Jesuits to write for a publication. Who, me? I said, yes, you. And the reason why more do not write for a publication is because they don't have the humility. Pardon me. Writing for a publication is very humiliating. I would want to quote some of the critics when I wrote the names they given to Father Hardin. So, where were we? Oh, that was the second question. First question I did not answer, remember? So, how to make a good confession. Sister or sisters, and I'm speaking from my heart, to make a good confession, you must be very calm, very calm, very humble. You must see inside of your soul what you don't want to look at. The less you want to do, oh no. I mean, I'm to tell somebody else what a fool I am. Yes, my dear. Thanks for the question. As you see in Latin, Voci Domus, let's go on. Remember what we are talking about. Our subject, remember, is the Eucharist as the wonder worker. Please? See part one. Part one I explained miracles. Have we had, do we still have them on the board? No. We have three kinds of miracles. Remember? Physical miracles like walking on water. Intellectual miracles like the mystical knowledge of a Teresa of Avila. And moral miracles. Now, first sisters, the word moral, for the rest of your life, remember, in the Catholic vocabulary, the word moral means free, voluntary. That's the Catholic definition of moral. The word moral means free, performed with a free will. In other words, our actions are moral when they are performed with our free will. Are all the actions that we perform always free? No. For example, the circulation of the blood. You don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to have my blood circulate. And then you press a button and the blood begins to circulate. That's silly. But we know there are actions which would not be performed unless we wanted to perform them. Your being here, sisters, these are moral actions. Your being missionaries of charity. My being a member of the Society of Jesus. Moral actions are those actions performed with a free will. And then, sisters, hear it. There are two kinds of moral actions. Oh, what are you talking about? Yes, there are good moral actions and bad moral actions. These are bad moral actions. Of course. But that's not what the dictionary says. That's why English dictionary, sisters, as I've told you, English dictionaries cannot define the meaning of words. We better have our definition. So, when we speak of moral miracles, what miracles are they? They are miracles in the free will. There are certain things that the free will does naturally. Remember we said, we naturally love those who love us. And we cannot, and the verb is we cannot, naturally love those who do not love us. We cannot. That is a standard definition of an unlovable person. That's the definition. In Aristotle, among the Greeks before Christ, in every dictionary, an unlovable person is one who, well, cannot be loved. And then God became man. And at the Last Supper, he gave us that humanly impossible command. In the Old Testament, what is the commandment of love in the Old Testament? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor in the Hebrew language meant either a relative or someone who is physically near to you, and always, always meant a Jew. In the Jewish vocabulary, a person who is not a Jew is not included as a neighbor. Do you hear me?